Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of March 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. It's Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here, too. He is in New Orleans at the Commodity Classic this week, and he'll talk to us about the cash grain market, some of the things he's telling producers there about production cost and having those figured for the coming year. Matt, of course, is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they're trading in Chicago at this hour. They finished up, of course, and settlement prices are in. The March contract in the corn pit at 353 and three quarters. That's three quarters of a cent lower. The May contract at 356 and a half, up a quarter. July at 361 and a quarter, up a half. And December, 375 and a half, one higher. March beans at 856 and a quarter, up two. The May two and a quarter higher, $8.63 and three quarters. July at 870 and a quarter, up two and a half. And November beans at 878, 3 cents higher. Bean meal at 262, that's 80 cents higher. The bean oil for the day at 3041, up 24 cents. Wheat futures, March contract, a gain of 10.5 cents, $4.53 and a quarter. July at 465 and three quarters, the new crop harvest month, up 9.5 cents for the soft red, and the hard red July at 475 and three quarters, 11 cents higher. Live cattle futures for the day down 67.5 cents at 135.62.5. The June at 125.70, down 22.5, and the March feeder cattle at 157.52.5, 77.5 cents lower. April down 75 at 157.7.5 cents, and the lean hogs for the day in the April contract $70.50, up 45 cents. May there at 76.30, down 60 cents. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is willag.org, where you can buy your tickets for the all-day ag outlook, but you really only have 24 more hours to do that. We'll shut ticket sales down tomorrow afternoon on Friday, online at willag.org or 800-898-1065. Tickets for the all day next Tuesday kicks off at 8 a.m. Central, 9 in the Eastern time zone, are just $30. Don't wait. Get the job done right now at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour. Energy futures, the ethanol contract at $1.34 8 cents in its lead option. That's 0.9 cents lower. April crude oil at $34.60 a barrel, 6 cents lower. Gasoline on the RBOB, or the wholesale price, at $1.29 8 cents, 0.1 cents lower. And April heating oil, or diesel fuel for the day, is up 0.1 cents. It's trading at $1.12 2 cents. Natural gas at $1.63 8 cents. 4 cents lower, in the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,894 is up about 25 points. The U.S. dollar at 97.61 is down 0.615. Gold futures on the day at $1,261.50, up $19.70. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. A chance of rain and snow before 7 o'clock, then a chance of snow between 7 and 9. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly clear to cloudy tonight, a low of 26. North winds at 5 to 7. Chance of precipitation set at 30%. Partly sunny tomorrow and a high of 41. We'll go to Friday night with a low of 33 and mostly cloudy skies. Saturday, partly cloudy and sunny, or rather partly cloudy and 48, and Saturday night will be partly cloudy with a low of 29. On Monday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 62. And on Tuesday, all day ag outlook day, a chance of showers, cloudy, and get this, a high of 65. No reason not to come over to the old all day ag outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Buy your tickets right away.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this third day of March. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. He's traveling in the great state of Illinois, visiting his old home and his father there in the northwestern part of Illinois. Thanks for being with us and taking time out of your day there with your dad. I do appreciate that a lot.
Bob, glad to be up here for a visit, and it's always good to visit with a dad that's 94 years old, and you can have an intelligent conversation with him. His light bulb is as bright as it's been, and it's really great.
Has he been following politics? I shouldn't ask that. Never
oh,
mind.
Yeah, he's on the Trump bandwagon. He's a Trump guy. We'll see how that all pans out, but he's definitely on the Trump side.
Well, there you go. All right, so let's talk about the marketplace instead. I think I want to start with the wheat market, which had a nice little rally. Why were we up a dime in both the hard and soft red winter wheat today?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. All three of the markets, corn, soybeans, and wheat, have been oversold after the big declines that we've kind of had over the past couple of weeks. So technically, we were ripe for some kind of short covering rally here to start the new month. If you look at today's export sales, we've had a lot of little export sales business going on in wheat. And then I think probably one of the bigger concerns was probably the rain forecast, the seven-day precip map that shows real heavy, heavy rains up Louisiana, Mississippi, on up into the Ohio River Valley over the next 7 days. So I think there was a combination there. Also, I might add, is the dollar did break hard today, and I think that kind of helped the commodity complex out also.
Does this do anything to the longer term or maybe monthly cycles or what you're looking at this point?
Well, on wheat, wheat does have a tendency to kind of follow a 36-week cycle from low to low. We are in that time window to record one of those 36-week cycle lows. And with today's price action and the early week decline, we're going to close, looks like we're in good shape to close out the week with a weekly reversal to the upside. So that is at least a technical signal for technicians that would tell you that maybe most of the bearishness in the wheat complex has been priced in, and now the market is ready to hear some bullish news or people backtracking on the bearishness. So that is a good sign. Corn ended up basically with your May futures forward. All had a little daily reversal to the upside today. Actually, Dease Corn had one yesterday, and then it followed through today. So if we would have a nice, if we maybe close a little higher tomorrow, we could maybe end up with a weekly reversal to the upside on corn also. Soybeans are kind of in the same situation. Their technical action over the past couple days is indicating that we're ready for a short covering bounce of some kind in here. Don't necessarily know what's going to trigger it. It could be a combination of things. We're getting close enough to planting now that the trade could maybe begin to worry about planting worries or concerns of some kind. The break in the dollar, as you probably heard earlier in the week on the monthly chart, it looks like the dollar is ripe for a more meaningful break to the downside. So I think that could be a catalyst for the commodity complex over the next couple months or so to maybe find some support in here, maybe find some renewed interest in export activity, and then maybe give us, you know, some kind of a rally as we go into oh, I'd say late spring, early summer time frame, as the cycles on corn is maybe a shade early to turn up. I'd be more inclined to think maybe after the 31st report, we would maybe get the corn market to kind of start rallying. Beans are in a position with wheat to maybe turn up a little earlier than corn can. So I'm kind of in that mode here, probably between this mid March through mid May for a meaningful low to be put in all three of these markets, and then have price strength through the summer and into the fall.
So that would be something that producers could put in their back pocket, but do they need to act on it in any way?
Well, I mean, there's so much noise around in this marketplace, and there is clearly downside price vulnerabilities in this marketplace. But, you know, for now, maybe on new crop, you know, you look at the crop insurance option. At least you do have some protection there. You still have the acre protection on the government program. But I do think, you know, if we would happen to stir up some kind of big short covering rally, farmers still need to probably find ways to protect the downside, but still keep the doors open for upside price potential as we go on into the growing season. Statistically, the odds still favor November beans and December corn to make higher highs for the year yet. So, you know, if you play the stats, you got some room here to see how the early part of the growing season goes and how that pans out through the rest of the growing season.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Looking forward to having you a little later today on Commodity Week. That show will be up about 5 p.m. this evening on our website at willag.org, and then you can listen to it tomorrow on the air during this hour of the day. And we'll have you over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, too, next week on Tuesday.
Very well, Todd.
Thanks so much. Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He's out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. He and Scott Harms, along with Bill Mayer, will join me this afternoon about 3 o'clock. We'll record Commodity Week. I'll get that posted to the website before I head home this afternoon, so it'll be up by around 5 o'clock tonight at willag.org. And there you can also go and pick up your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. We'll only sell those online for about another 24 hours or so, so that's scheduled to end tomorrow afternoon. You can buy the tickets either online or by phone, 800-898-1065. They're just $30. That includes the meal, actually a coffee and a roll in the morning. Around 8 o'clock, we open the door, Central Time, 9 o'clock in Indiana Time, or the Eastern Time Zone. We'll run all day long. Dan Zwicker will be there along with a whole bevy of our other analysts. If you've not been, this is a great opportunity for you to come and meet the brokers and the voices that you hear each and every day right here on Illinois Public Media. So get your tickets right now at willag.org. That's willag.org. Don't wait, or 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, just a third of the Senate's Agricultural Committee members that are Democrats voted this week for Chairman Pat Roberts. He's a Republican. Voluntary GMO labeling bill, and at least one of them demanded changes to the bill before she'd support it on the floor. Farm Bureau's executive director, Dale Moore, says he sees some hope for bipartisan compromise still.
The bill is out of committee, and the fact that, you know, the three Democrats, again, I'm only basing this on, you know, years of watching the process, I got to believe that they are confident and they are assured that the chairman is going to keep working with them, not just with them, but the no votes as well. You know, you had the ranking member, Ms. Stabenow, voted no. They're going to continue working, and they'll find some middle ground.
The American Farm Bureau Federation says it backs science-based voluntary labeling that does not stigmatize GMO ingredients. It would not add to the bottom line of the family grocery bill based on labeling requirements. Moore says the fight boils down to to both what's on the label and whether a label is voluntary or mandatory. He suggests there has to be a balance.
We believe consumers, you know, do have a right to know, but we believe that there is a way to inform consumers that shouldn't require a federal mandate and should be based on factual, science-based information that puts it in the full context, not just the scaremongering that some folks like to go after these technologies with.
That's the executive director of the AFBF, the American Farm Bureau Federation, Dale Moore. He says GMO opponents have switched their argument after years of saying biotech foods aren't safe because studies prove they are. Now they're saying consumers have a right to know. The question then is, can the opposing sides find a way to split the difference and still preserve the interest of both consumers and producers? We'll stay in Washington, D.C., and in fact with GMO. Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, he's a Democrat, introduced a bill yesterday that would mandate GMO labeling. The bill requires food makers to disclose the presence of GMO ingredients on the nutrition facts label. Merkley's alternative bill would give manufacturers four labeling options, ranging from using a parentheses following the relevant ingredient to use a symbol developed by the FDA in consultation with food manufacturers. None of the options would require front panel disclosures or warning statements. The bill comes, as you just heard, just a day after the Senate Agriculture Committee sent a bill onto the full Senate that would make GMO labeling voluntary. This particular bill is co-sponsored by Senate Democrats Patrick Leahy of Vermont and John Tester of Montana. And finally today, we'll go international. China will likely import 6% more soybeans during the 15-16 marketing year. That's the one we're in right now. A Chinese official expects the country to import 83 million metric tons of soybeans during the current marketing year, up 4.65 million metric tons from last year. The forecast comes from Wang Lin, managing director of COFCO Futures, and that tops the current USDA's forecast for China, by the way. USDA's latest forecast suggests China will import 80.5 million metric tons of beans. Lin, however, explains that hog margins are attractive, which should boost feed demand in his nation. He also noted Chinese corn imports are likely to be very subdued due to efforts to reduce its stockpiles. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. If you haven't purchased your ticket yet for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook, you have about 24 hours to get that job done, either online at willag.org, willag.org, or by calling this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Roughly 24 hours left for you to buy that ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's next Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We open the doors at 8 o'clock Central, 9 in the Eastern Time Zone. You can come in, have a coffee and a roll from the Beef House, and then have that Beef House meal too, and enjoy the whole day. We'll be done by about 2 o'clock Central Time, so it's really good event. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts. We'll have four extra folks, including Emerson Nafziger and Gary Schnitke and Brian Young, to talk about controlling production cost on the farm and other costs as well. And we'll kick off the day in the morning with Agribull's Eric Snodgrass. That's right, we're going to do weather first thing up front. We'll learn a bit more about what's happening probably with that safrina crop in South America and take a look at what the weather forecast might hold as it relates to El Nino for the growing season here in the Midwest. Should be a great day, but if you haven't bought your ticket yet, and a lot of you have, I did a count about an hour ago, and it should be around 270, 280 at the moment, and it'll be approaching 300 by the time we get this done. You need to get your ticket bought right now. Don't wait, because we close down ticket sales on Friday afternoon, so you got 24 hours to pull this off. 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org, willag.org. This is a big event. It's a really great event. We've been running for more than a quarter of a century. Lots of people love to come over and see it. If you've not ever been there, this is a good one to come see. The weather should be pretty good too, I think. So come on out and see us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana next Tuesday. But you have to have your ticket in the next 24 hours at willag.org or on 800-898-1065. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check the cash grain market, and mostly we're going to check in with the Commodity Classic, because that's where Matt Bennett is from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting. He's out of Windsor, Illinois, but today comes to us from New Orleans. Congratulations for being in that beautiful city. First, is the weather nice there?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's a little overcast, but walked outside for lunch, and it was probably 70 degrees at least. And so it's definitely nicer down here than where it is at home.
What's the big topic of interest so far? And I know this just kicked off today for those who are attending the Commodity Classic.
Well, you know, I think everyone's kind of standing around wondering if we're going to get some sort of an opportunity this year to market above cost of production for some folks, because obviously some of them are feeling like they're not there at this point. You know, definitely prices are probably the number one topic. I think a lot of people have differing opinions. A lot hinges on weather. And, you know, there's a large disparity as far as what everyone thinks is going to happen. But I'm trying to talk mostly about ways to be a better businessman, figuring your cost of production and things like that, because I think that can make as big an impact as anything.
We'll come back to that. But just for the moment, are they talking short term on prices, or are they talking 3 to 5 years still based on what USDA released with its ag outlook for them?
You know, there's a little bit of talk about that. I think the general feeling from most people is that we're not going to see much of a rally opportunity this year. And, you know, of course, unless we get some sort of a major weather event. So, you know, a demand building, demand-based building period for the next year or two might be in order for us to be able to get into a situation where we've got significantly better prices without a huge drought situation. But for the most part, in the short run, all it's going to come down to is weather, is what most people are talking.
And finally, what are you telling them about knowing their cost and how they utilize that in their marketing plans?
You know, I think for several years in a row, we didn't necessarily need to know our cost of production. But in this type of market environment, 10, 15, 20 cents means the world. And so we need to know exactly where our break-even cost for corn is at a normal yield, one in which we would maybe give the banker for an operating note and then be able to market according to that, you know, be able to get incremental sales whenever we're in the black, because we might not get in the black much this year.
Have you discussed with them the primary and the secondary cost and the things you think they really ought to put into their production costs? So seed and fuel and those sorts of things, fertilizer, chemicals are all usually pretty easy to come up with. Are there other items they have to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. The profitability spreadsheet I developed that I go through is completely customizable. So it's pretty much up to the individual producer on just how much they want to add. But one thing I've been harping on pretty consistently is how much we're spending, you know, to live. Because, of course, Gary and the FarmDoc guys have come out with some pretty good information, you know, as far as how much we spend in per tillable operator acre. And given what they're saying that the Illinois net farm income is going to be, we're spending entirely too much money to live at this point. So I'm trying to impress that upon producers and help them understand we've got to change our way of thinking a little bit.
Well, there'll be a lot of unhappy spouses with you, my friend. Hey, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Have fun in New Orleans.
Yep.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting out of Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Mulled Wine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1709, Andreas Margraf was born. A German chemist in 1747, he extracted sugar from the sugar beet and determined it was identical to cane sugar. But it was not for almost another century, in 1802, that the first beet sugar refinery would be built. In 1797, the first patent for a washing machine was issued to Nathaniel Briggs. In 1879, Elmer McCollum was born, an American biochemist. He originated the letter system of naming vitamins. He discovered vitamins A and B, and he worked with others on vitamin D. He also researched how certain minerals were important as nutrients, including calcium, phosphorus, manganese, and zinc. Also in 1879, the U.S. Geological Survey was founded by an act of Congress to classify public lands, their geological structures, mineral resources, and products. The first survey actually funded by Congress came some 50 years earlier, examining the land between the Missouri and Red Rivers. And in 1892, the first tuberculosis test on cattle in the U.S. was conducted by Dr. Leonard Pearson, the dean of the veterinary department at the University of Pennsylvania. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether out of town or out of time, with Busey's mobile, deposit checks, view balances, and pay people and bills from your device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this third day of March. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start in South America today. What are the things that need to happen there to ensure their Safrina corn crop gets off to a really good season?
Well, the main thing is first we need to have the rest of it planted because it is a little bit behind schedule. The reason planting is a bit behind schedule is primarily because of the dry autumn and early winter that we had, which kept some of the soybean planting delayed. So now soybeans are being harvested with corn to be planted right behind it, but until all those soybeans are harvested, we can't finish up with the second crop corn planting. So at the moment, there's really nothing to worry about, but the only thing you have to watch for later on in March and more so in April is that if their rainy season were to end earlier than normal, normally it begins to taper off from about mid-March through the end of April. Let's say it were to start 2 to 3 weeks earlier than normal. Well, that will leave a lot of that corn much too dry as it goes through its reproductive and filling phases. Whether or not that happens is unknown, but that would be the main thing to watch for in South America as we go forward over the next 4 to 8 weeks.
And then in North America, I suppose we should check in on the winter wheat crop, especially out in the Great Plains states and in the Southwest. What conditions do need to happen there for that crop? It's been warm, for one thing, and came out of dormancy.
It sure has. We've seen temperatures that were averaging around 7 degrees above normal across the hard red winter wheat belt over the last 30 days. So that tells you that development is probably around 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule. And that's why it is beginning to break dormancy. It's been very dry there since about the beginning of January, with 60-day rainfall deficits continuing to mount from Kansas and point south to Oklahoma and Texas. Now, we normally would be a little bit concerned about that, but for two reasons, we're not overly concerned. Number one is that we're in an El Nino at the moment, and there's a pretty strong correlation between a diminishing El Nino, like is happening now, and wet March-April periods across the Great Plains. So we think that as time goes on, we'll end up seeing an increase in rainfall. If you look at the weather pattern coming up for next week, it does look a lot stormier, so there are chances for rain out there. But we'll need some of those to materialize over the next few weeks in order to alleviate some of that drying.
And finally, do you have thoughts in the Midwest about the coming growing season? Planting should start in 4 or 5 weeks in a real rush for producers in the middle part of the country, in Illinois and Iowa and Indiana.
Well, the main thing to watch for will be related to the El Nino once again. There's also a pretty high correlation between wet springs in the Corn Belt and a diminishing El Nino. So as we get into March, or later in March at least, April and even into May, we'll need to keep an eye on that pattern because history shows that we typically end up being wetter than normal. Whether or not that comes to fruition is debatable. But again, with this stormy pattern for next week, it sure looks like we're going to start out March on a wet note, and then we'll just have to see if that continues. So that would be the main thing, watching for wetness in the Corn Belt over the next 4 to 12 weeks.
Thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.